In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, Bulabinaka. Welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Coey, Tinidar Arona, and we have you covered for all your Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. And T, the biggest news out of the Cook Islands.
Kia ora, Sammy. Yes, the Cook Island people are very, very proud and happy with the announcement of the new All Blacks coach, Dave Rennie. His mum's from Titikavaka. In Rarotonga, but we'll get to that story very shortly.
Did you run past their village when you did
Of course. I actually went to Titikavaka College for one day and then decided I wanted to go back home to Australia, so I moved
really?
Out of there. Yep. One year at Titikavaka College I did. But yes, we are back here, Nijan Footy Fridays. We were here last week and now we are back two times as much Nijan Footy with everything now well and truly back. So a big show planned today, Sammy. We had last night's round one continue on with the Melbourne Storm and Parramatta Eels.
I didn't tip the Eels. I'm glad it was a Thursday night game because I would have gone them.
I know a lot of Eels fans out there, some family members of mine as well. And yeah, look, it's probably not a good morning or a good day for them here on Nijan Footy, you know, giving the result last night. But we'll get to that game. We've also got Sala Tongatuki joining
us. She's back. She is back
on Nijan Footy Fridays, covering Rugby League, NRLW, NRL. We'll get a good catch-up on how she is doing. We've got Nemani Kurundrani also joining us to cover all things Super Rugby. And then what do you got for us, Sammy? We've got our
you've got us all covered there. Comp. Yeah, we've got the tipping comp. I think I'm really liking one. Our... Yeah, you are. That was a great pick from for you for the Knights.
Newcastle Knights last week.
Yep, and not a good one for me for the Hurricanes on my lock, but I'm enjoying this format around our tipping, around the lock and Smokey.
And then the big news this week, you know, the announcement of Dave Rennie.
Yes, Dave Rennie.
Being the new All Blacks head coach. What are your thoughts on that one?
Man, honestly, I absolutely love this appointment of Dave Rennie. I thought when he got let go as the Wallabies coach, it was probably the worst decision that they've made. I thought they were in a good spot, building nicely for that World Cup before Eddie Jones came, and we know how that went down. But for me, seeing some of the players that have been coached by Dave come out and talk about who he is as a person, he's going to get the connection piece right. You know, Sonny Bill Williams came out and weighed in on it. Quade Cooper, Nick White.
All supporting this
decision around Dave Rennie. So
this is a Wallabies players as well, eh?
So yeah, Wallaby players as well. I thought there was more Wallaby players coming out than All Blacks players. But
so he did, to give you know, people who might not know Dave Rennie, he also coached the Wallabies at one point.
Yeah, so in 2020, so after the 2019 World Cup, he came in as the Wallabies head coach. So I guess why this is significant as well, he's the first person with Pacific Island heritage to coach the All Blacks, but also the Wallabies as well. So he's over in Japan now at Corbett Steel, and Artie Savia is at that club. So I think for where the All Blacks are at right now, he's the type of person that they need. He needs to be that glue to bring everyone together and sing from the same hymn sheet, which, to be honest, that's actually his one of his tactics that he uses. Like, I don't know if you remember, but when he was in Wallabies camp, he got everyone singing Pacific Island hymns. Fijian, Tongan, Samoan.
Australians.
So like, Australians, all of that. Like, they were all learning those hymns. And I remember my last year at the Waratahs, Like there's a guy, Angus Bell, the prop for the Wallabies and the Waratahs. Mate, he was coming in singing this Tongan hymn. Mate, he knew the words more than me. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. And he was a big part of the reason why that the Wallabies sung the national anthem in Eora language, in native indigenous language. So you can tell straight away what he's about and connection first.
Connection, culture. And I love the words that he shared about his mother, who's from Te Tikawaka in Rarotonga. And he shared this on social media. Well, Sammy, you know, it's going to be an interesting World Cup coming up in the rugby union space with a new head coach, Dave Rennie.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say this, T, but I am actually happy for the All Blacks.
Was that a confident happy?
No, because I know what he's going to do. Like, I know what he's going to do.
A lot of our listeners across the Pacific, they all support, a lot of them support the All Blacks.
Absolutely.
So it is some great news, and even better that the coach is from our Pacific Islands. So congratulations again from Neejum Footy, and yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing where this journey lands for the All Blacks.
Hey guys, it's Josh Papali here, and you're listening to Neejum Footy.
Yes, we'll have more rugby union news a little bit later on in the show, but we're going to kick things off with rugby league round one, how do you say it? Because it was Vegas round. What's that called? Is that round zero, is it?
No, Vegas is round one. Yep. With only four teams playing, and we've got the rest of the games playing.
So this is still
weekend.
Round one.
Still round one.
Okay. Round one of footy. Talk to me about that game.
Thursday night footy.
Last night.
In Melbourne. The Melbourne Storm continue their winning streak of round one
years.
Games. 24 wins in a row for Craig Bellamy and the Melbourne Storm. The Storm just... Yeah, sending a message early to the rest of the competition.
Man, they look sharp.
52-4 against the Parramatta Eels. Look, the Eels did score in the first opening minutes with their man down, Jermaine Hopgood. He got sent to the bin. Eels were down to 12 men. They scored the first try, but then from there was all Melbourne Storm. You know, hard, direct running, quick play the balls with that new repeat set rule as well. Because of the speed of the play of the ball.
What's that rule again? Refresh my memory.
Any infringement or trying to slow the play of the ball after the 20-metre line, it's not a penalty.
Coming out of their end, it's a
six again.
Gotcha.
So there were times where the Parramatta Eels were giving away six gains on their fourth, fifth tackle. So then by the time they got the ball back, yeah, they had made almost 12 tackles.
Do you reckon that was a reason for them not completing their sets well, like having a low percentage? I think it was about 60% they were completing that just because of the fatigue.
It's the knock-on effect it has on their energy levels, on the back foot. You look at, you know, even Stefano Utoikamanu, you know, seemed like he wanted to prove something in this game, and he just got them on the front foot with a couple big carries, leading guys on the ground.
He showed some toe, didn't he? He showed some toe.
19 runs. For 239 metres. He was the most metre maker in this game. But when you've got go forward like that, then you bring in the big three for the Melbourne Storm. Harry Grant, who was outstanding and he only played 60 minutes of footy, was probably the man of the match. Look, he was just toying with their markers, engaging those players offside, catching them offside where you've got those six agains. He's creating those quicker play the balls. He also scores two tries. You got Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster either side just taking advantage of that go forward. They both have two try assists each. And when you look at the players that are missing the Melbourne Storm, Nelson Asofa-Solomona, Ryan Pappenhausen, Sean Blaw, Eli Katoa, they're two starting back rowers.
Yep.
But then the players that replaced them, they didn't miss a beat. They didn't look out of place. And the big one for me, Sua Fa'alongo.
Did you expect that performance? Like, that was a pretty complete performance from Sua at the back there when people were probably either... We knew he was going to bring flair, but can he bring structure to his chaos as well? And he seemed like he did that well. Did you expect that?
This was something that Harry Grant brought up in his post-match interview about Sua Fa'alongo's patience like they know that what he can bring to.
Man,
these lights are putting me off.
Flashing.
What is going on here?
Is someone telling us?
Is there a sign up there? Someone playing with the lights in this room? But Suafar Longo, he spoke. Harry Grant spoke about his patience, knowing that he's got that X factor, but the game just didn't play out that way until the back end of the 80 minutes, probably the last quarter, where we got to see his X factor. But what impressed me about Sua was his work off the ball.
Yeah.
Being able to sweep around to the left, and then they've got Shape going all the way back to the right. He sweeps all the way back, and he might not have even touched the ball, but him being in the picture causes more questions for the defensive line that that Melbourne were able to execute their plays. And then defensive efforts. There was a moment where Isaiah Yongi, he picks the ball up, makes a break off a kick, Melbourne kick. So he picks the ball up, gets through, Suafar Longo makes the tackle. Then Melbourne Storm spread the ball all the way back to Will Pinicini on the other side. Suafar Longo runs from one side of the field, sideline, all the way to the other to cover that tackle. Now, that just shows the preseason he's had, the understanding of his role, and the grit and determination he has where he wants to be in every frame, every picture. Although he might not be that X factor or score that big try, he's making their moments count for him.
I saw that Billy Slater was talking to him after the game, and in the commentary box they were talking about Billy working with him throughout the preseason. Like, having someone like him to learn from, someone like Sua, straight from Samoa, and he knows he's got this X factor, but those two connecting like that, and to see probably Billy's fingerprints on it, like, that's pretty special to see when you watch and go, wow, mate, he's a goat, Billy.
You can add Harry Grant learning from Cameron Smith. Cam Munster and Jerome Hughes learning from Cooper Cronk.
Yes.
Again, Craig Bellamy says how blessed he is to have players from that era then transition straight over to the current era that they have now. And Suafar Longo has just made, for now, that number one jersey his.
Now, well, round one, there's still how many rounds to go?
25.
Wow, plenty more footy. Here we go.
But the Eels, watching that performance, were there any positive signs that you could take from that game last night?
I don't think there was any injuries. They could be sweet for next week, everyone. I do like, actually, you know, when Junior Bolo came on, man, he's got some footwork for an old bull. His haircut was special. He went with the mullet, the bald head and the mullet, the short one. But look, I just thought, like, you know, when he had an injection of getting on the front foot, but to be honest, it was just their completion rate just wasn't there, and they were just gassed.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't do anything with it. So
the commentator made a comment. Their defense was like a wet paper towel at times. So Iongi, I thought for me, the positives, Isaiah Iongi with the ball looked good. Yeah, he's got that X factor in him. If they can just give him that momentum on the front foot, we'll see more from him.
Is he a fullback?
Yeah, I think he's a fullback.
Okay.
Yep. He's good at under the high ball, you know, finding that space, and he's a competitor. Like, he keep turning up. Kitioni Katonga, I thought that his touches were strong. He had a couple nice offloads as well. I think it's just hard when you're on the back foot and your team's fatigued. It's hard to be able to, who's that person to get them on that front foot?
Yep.
You know, and it's about sorting out their defense.
Well,
I think they fix their defense.
Yeah, they're easy fixes. At the end of the day, they can, if they hold the ball and complete and they just fix their defense up, well, they're going to put themselves in the picture to have a better performance than obviously the one that they had against the Melbourne Storm. So hopefully there's positive signs ahead for the Eels.
Yeah, the Storm just looking too strong. Again, 24 round one wins in a row. The Storm winning this one 52 to the Eels 4. And for the rest of this weekend, we have tonight the Warriors will be playing the Roosters in a huge game in Auckland. The Brisbane Broncos playing the Panthers in the evening. Tomorrow on Saturday, we have the Sharks versus the Titans, Manly versus the Raiders. And then on Sunday, we have the one game where the Dolphins will be taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. We'll cover a couple of these games with Sala Tongatuki shortly, but I just wanted to have a chat about the Zach Lomax
issue massive that's talking happened point for a long time now,
the
actually.
Last few days. Yep. Probably a little bit about the background, you know, the bigger picture that this has an effect on, you know, the clubs and other players as well. So Zach Lomax signed an agreement where he could go in, you know, explore other options.
Mainly around R360. Big money thrown around. They rolled the dice. R360 falls over.
There were some clauses in that agreement where, you know, that he couldn't go and play for another NRL club unless it was approved from the Parramatta Eels. So the Eels are losing a big time player from Zach Lomax. Zach Lomax, unfortunately for him, the R360 was didn't come through, and now he's trying to find out, like, how can he play rugby league now in the NRL. So Parramatta Eels, they are now negotiating with other clubs on how do we make this work, where, you know, they have the right also to, you know, get something back from this agreement. What this does have a impact on is some of those negotiations when it affects other players, and what does that trade deal look like? It's not the greatest for the player. You know, when you look at the most recent example, Ryan Madison, who's also signed at the Parramatta Eels, and there were negotiations going on about his contract and him going to another club. Unfortunately, Ryan Madison had no idea about this negotiation or this agreement happening. He was told on the evening to make a decision, and, you know, that's a big lifetime
huge
decision to make for him and his family. You know, this could one day affect all players, you know, whether you're Australian, New Zealand, you know, of Pacific heritage. It's important to understand that, you know, these players can't be used as bargaining chips, and they've also, these players that are signed have signed agreements.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I just think it's one where we just need to be very aware of the domino effect.
Bulavinaka, Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Sammy, that's it for Rugby League. I know we've got a big show on Monday where we'll cover round one, but remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Let's move over to Rugby Union before we get to our first expert of the show, Sala Tongatuki. What do we got
Union? Yes, Rugby Union. Oh, man, I copped it in my inbox from my Fijian friends last week, tipping against them, the Hurricanes. Yes. For the lock, so apologies for that one. I'm going to tip them again this week, though. They're a sure thing to win this week. Do you know why?
Why?
They got the bye, so we're all good. So we're safe there. Safe as houses for that one. But Moana Pacifica, on the other hand, they have a clash with the Chiefs this week. Chiefs are coming off a loss, and Moana have made some changes to their starting lineup. We see Jackson Gordon-Bashup come in and start at 10, so Patrick Pellegrini will move to the bench. But on debut, Augustine Bulu will start at 9. So that's the player that I really want to highlight, because he is a vet. He's played for the Chiefs before. So this will be a bit of a, almost like a full circle moment, because I'm sure he made his debut for the Chiefs, and now he's going to debut for Moana.
In Hamilton.
So I think that's a pretty special moment for Augustine Bulu. He's played in Japan. He's going to be a good, calm head out there for them. And they probably need that after last week's performance, just around probably what we spoke around them resting players, probably expecting to get that win. But now you've got to shift your focus. Okay, that didn't work out, that plan. But now we've got to shift it towards a pretty strong Chiefs outfit. And when you look at their back line, you're a Damian McKenzie fan. They're 10.
Yeah.
D-Mac.
For a long time, yes.
When he
reminds me of the Joker. You know, just that.
Yes.
That face.
He does have that.
Sharp. Saw far longer footwork.
Yeah, he has all of that. I like how you reference the Joker there, because when he smiles and takes his kick for goal, he's got those dimples in there. That's him. But when he plays at 10, they are always very well organized, but at the same time, man, he can throw that, let's just say, you can throw a Joker card out there, because you don't know what's coming. And so they have to be really prepared in defense to understand that they need to keep a connected line. So with him there, we've got Lalakai Fulketi in the centers, former Waratah, Tongan heritage, some other strike powers like Samipeni Funau, Tupouva'i. They're just a very strong outfit, and they're very strong at home. And after coming off a loss against the Crusaders, you know they're going to be chomping at the bits to be able to make sure they get this win against Moana Pacifica. So they've got a big one ahead of them.
But so are they your smoky
Moana? I've got my shirt on.
I know, I was just looking at your Moana Pacifica jersey here. Just quickly, some of those changes with Moana, are they on the back of the loss and they're trying to make changes to improve, or is it resting?
Yeah, players? I don't know. I'm trying to get a gauge because...
I know you just mentioned
Patrick.
Patrick going to the bench and then just moved on.
Let's
spend a little bit of time there.
Well, he's played 80-minute games the last three games, and he's the only one that hasn't been rotated. And you could probably say, it probably did come off the back of the loss because they really shut him out of the game last week, the Force.
So it'd be performance-based.
I reckon it could be a bit of both. Freshen up, come off the bench and add that impact that you can. But it's just the nature of the beast. You've got to compete for your position. And then this is how Tanner feels. This, having Jackson Garden Bashup in there, he's going to work better with Augustine Bull for this game. And we'll see if it pays off.
Maybe you just wanted to keep the Cook Island trend going, with the Cook Island wave happening.
Mate, with Dave Rennie. The union's taking over in the Cook Islands. Thank you very much, Mr. Rennie. But we'll shift our attention over now to the Waratahs and the Hurricanes. Probably the big talking point out of this one, Joseph Suaalii. Now, what's his best position? You've seen him play league. Is someone of his size and ability, where do you see him having the best impact in a game?
So I look at the individual and I see what's their strength. And when you think of Suaalii, you think, get him the ball with space. Where he can have the ball in his hand and whatever shapes or pitches he sees in front, he'll execute and he'll cause damage. But you close that space down, it takes away some of his strength because it's limited options for himself. So wherever in rugby union, whatever position it is, I'm guessing it's outside centre, it's wherever there is space, just get him the ball.
Yeah, well, he is playing outside centre at the moment. And when I look at an outside centre's position, the main things you really need to be is well organised and understand the game really well, because it's the hardest place on the field to defend, because you're that person making a decision based on instinct and feel, because is your winger on your outside? Am I going to come up hard and close that gates? Am I connected? There's always a lot of traffic coming your way. So you have to make a good decision and a good read in defense. In attack, a lot of the times you're doing the dirty work around, running block shapes, cleaning that wide breakdown.
So outside center is not really the position that I was speaking about.
Yeah, no, you'd say more of the back three, so fullback and wing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think selfishly, and probably like everyone else, because we see his athleticism, what you see, you want to see him ball in space, finishing, scoring those tries. Exactly what probably Max Jorgensen is doing right now, like for the Waratahs, their winger, like where he can step you in a phone booth. He is on the end of some fantastic play. He can create something out of nothing, and he's scoring tries, and then it goes straight up on the highlights reel, and you go, this is our $1.8 million man.
So fullback, you think that he'd suit more add more value to the team?
I think I would like him on the wing, because on the wing, you think about the first phase starters, like off a scrum or a line-out. You're not restricted. You can actually have him receiving the ball first if you want. You can come in whenever you want. You can change him. He can be on the edge. He can work off his wing. Like if you see like how France and Ireland play at the moment, a lot of their right-hand wingers or left-hand wingers, they're ending up on the other side scoring tries in the opposite corner because they're working hard off the ball and they're linking.
And they're allowed to get off their
license. Yeah. They've got the license to move. So I would like him to see that because you're not restricted. But if he feels like he's the best 13 out there, I think they got to keep him there and just allow him to become one of the best players with around the knowledge of the game. And that's why I like, he's come over early. The World Cup's not till next year. So if he wants to stay there, well, keep him there.
Leave him there.
Leave him there and learn his craft, because if he can learn that bit of detail around being the best organizer, best decision maker, and have his athletic ability, he's going to be the best outside centre in the world. Because the best outside centre in the world, in my eyes, that has ever played the game is Conrad Smith from the All Blacks. If you look at him, he's like the Cam Smith. You know, body shape and not athletic, but man, he could make good decisions.
Would he be similar to Stephen Crichton as a defensive center?
I reckon that's a great comparison to Lee, because you'd probably think Stephen Crichton could be the best fullback in the world if you wanted to, or the best winger in the world, you know, finishing. But now he's a very smart footballer and he's got all those attributes. You know, we saw him get that fend and flick away. He made good decisions around his defensive efforts. He could be that for rugby union with more time in the saddle. There's just more to do as a 13 in union. So
that's what makes Crichton great, is his defensive reads. And he speaks about, you know, being patient or knowing when to kill and you know, knowing when to wait and go and
so he can do the flash stuff, but he can also do the dirty work because he's a smart player. So that's where I think with Swali, give him time to learn his craft. And I think come next year, he's going to be a key piece for the Wallabies. So keep him there. Can't wait to see the Ferrari unleashed and not sitting in traffic. So that's my two bob on that one. But some other games for Super Rugby, probably the biggest game I reckon you should look at, just, you know, when we get to our lock and smoky, is maybe the Blues and the Crusaders. Who could be in that one? I think the Blues are a smoky, but we'll talk about that a bit later. That's probably one of the big ones. And the Brumbies and the Reds. That's another big clash. That's it for Rugby Union until we chat a little bit later on with Nemani Nondola Kurundrani. But first, let's get to Sala Tongatuki with more Rugby League chat.
The Rugby League preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, she is back for another season with Nijan Footy and NRLW. But we have our superstar, Sala Tongatuki, representing the West Tigers, New South Wales, Gillaroos, Fetu Samoa, you name it, she's done it. Sala, welcome back for 2026. How have you been?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back as always, but I've been better than ever. Yeah, I've been well, thank you.
That's a good start. Better than ever. Better than ever.
Yeah. Feel good. So, yeah, it's been good.
Well, we're very blessed to have you back on. I do want to get to what's been happening in your world at Tiger Town. Pre-season training, are you still lifting big weights, still smashing all those records?
Oh, currently, yeah, we do have like a leaderboard and that. And yeah, I do have a couple of the girls and that saying like comments like, oh, coming for you, Sala. They sort of, we got sort of do this thing and go pound for pound. Who's the strongest and that off the back of last season. So, yeah, I think I'm trying to just be consistent in that area, just trying to better myself. But I've been enjoying our new coach and just his high-performance stuff he's put together. I found out a lot of us girls have gotten so fit since the optional session started last year at the back end. So, yeah, it's all paying off, just, you know, choosing to be there. Like I said, sometimes optionals shouldn't be optionals, especially when we're all trying to aim for that full-time kind of frame in a women's game. So, yeah, I'm loving my preseason.
Yeah, right, let's not forget some of the work that you're doing away from West Tigers. So she's been getting in those secret sessions, 4:50 a.m. at the Yard Gym in St. Mary's, Sydney. So we'll always cross paths at the same gym, and it's good to see Sala staying fit.
Well, that's where the true work is. Yeah, that's where the true work is that when people aren't watching you, and when you come into training, that's why you are on the leaderboard. Can I get what are those exercises that you're leading the way in?
Are you going to chase them down?
Just ask me about it, mate. No chance. But can I? Yeah, just we've only got 10 minutes. So you can't list all of them. So
like just for our audience, you know, what are some of those?
I used to hold the bench press record.
Did
back
you?
In the day. Nah, no chance. Oh. No chance. No chance.
Oh,
no.
I would have believed. I actually
believe
that.
No. Long arms, long levers, no good. So
I had the power clean record for at one point at Sharks.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it? How many kilos?
It was only 140, I think.
Only 140. Shut the gate.
That is so good.
Maybe 130.
How much did you weigh?
How much did I weigh? About 106. Yeah. You know, I remember this because Paul Gallen tried to beat it straight after and he couldn't get it.
Couldn't get it.
I was like, yeah.
Poor
technique. I've got something over him.
Yes. All right, Sala, what have you got? What's the exercise you've got?
It depends on how you weigh and stuff. Because like I'm 80, so my bench is like 90, and then my back squat's like 160.
Oh, so it's like 112%, 112% of your body weight your benching.
We try and aim for
Is that math correct there? Because you had me sold. That sounds correct.
Roughly, yeah.
160 kilos. Oh, my goodness. If I had that on my back now, honestly, I'd fall over.
What, squat?
Squat, mate. My bench is bigger than my squat now. I've benched the bar. Squat the bar. That's all I've got.
I've seen you in your benches, though, Sam. Yeah,
that's all I can
say. Strong.
That's their throwback Thursday ones.
Notice, Sulla, we just used this little segment to talk about
our training.
Sam,
ask a new question. Ask a new question.
The training records we held 20 years ago.
Nah, they're still valid, boys. Come on. Yeah. That's what got you boys to where you are now. Nah.
Well, let's actually talk a bit about some rugby league and with round one NRL coming up. We did see the poor Parramatta Eels lose to the strong Melbourne Storm last night, 52-4.
Yeah.
But with the upcoming game this weekend, let's go with tonight's game. Yeah, we've got the Warriors versus the Roosters and the Broncos versus the Panthers. With the Warriors versus Roosters, what stands out to you when you think about these two teams?
Well, it's hard with the Warriors because they don't really have like the likes of Tamati Martin. And like I'm hearing that obviously like Roger and that they're carrying Eagles and that going into this round. Like, I don't know. I think for me what stands out is just a spine. And you've got that with the Roosters. You know, you got Sammy Walker back, especially with Daly Cherry Evans' experience. I know their preseason challenge may have not gone as to plan as to what they would have wanted, but.
Well, Parra won the preseason challenge, didn't they?
Strength.
Yes.
They won the 100 grand. So that goes out the window.
They did. Yeah, I know. Like, right? So those are just preseason games, but I think for me, it's more the spines than that. You still got, like, Chance, Nickel, like, Clockstead, still there with Chanel. But, yeah, I feel like they're missing, like, you know.
Metcalf.
Yes, that's who. Yes, he's big for me with the Warriors, and when he's on, he's on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got James Fisher-Harris to captain there. Like, he will carry to the best of his ability in that middle pack. But then I've been a big fan lately of Nafahu White.
Yeah, he's been strong.
He's been strong. Like, you know, I can't underestimate him, and I reckon he loves a good challenge, especially against his own Kiwi bro across the pitch. So,
across the pitch or the ditch.
Pitch, ditch, same thing.
Pitch or ditch, same thing, bro.
Same thing.
But you're right. They both had strong campaigns for the Kiwis, and Nafahu White coming off the bench. James Fisher-Harris starting with Joseph Taupinen, so he'll want to get that matchup and get the upper hand. And you're also correct about the spines. You know, when you look at the Rooster spine, but also how valuable the spines are with Newcastle Knights, with KP, Fletcher Sharp, Dylan Brown, the way that they performed last night with the Storm, the big three.
Well, it showed last night. Yeah. It didn't matter who you put around those players like Cameron Munster and Harry Grant. You had like Valu, Lasati, and Joe Chan. What those boys did, like they literally, they carried as well. Like they did their jobs. They ran hard. They made effort, like they put effort on effort, like their chase downs, their push supports and that, they were there. They were in every frame, especially with Swofa Lungo. Like he was a massive talk replacing, you know, Ryan Pappenhausen's shoes. Like they're not easy shoes to fill. And the fact that that kid was so patient, he got his opportunity now. I reckon Storms are a lot like more dangerous now moving forward. Like. Yep. With Sua there, so it's I'm big with key spine players. But sorry, one person I did want to mention was Spencer Leniel coming off the bench with Leka Halasima. But we've seen Spencer; he's like I think there was a podcast I seen that they were chatting, discussing about his just his effort, like to chase down. Like for a middle, you would not ever see that in Spencer's game. You know, they use him, they inject him, just, you know, these hard runs, get the ball, like fast play the balls. But what we're seeing a different Spencer going into this round one game, I reckon.
Yeah.
You'll see him on the frames and that.
It was during the trials where he made some back-to-back defensive efforts that probably don't get recognised. But as a middle, to put themselves in that frame shows his hunger, his desire to you know, make those tackles and stop tries. And I think you're right, he is set up for a big season. Broncos versus Panthers. One, can Broncos go back to back?
Oh, I did watch the World Club Challenge, and that just, I feel like it wasn't Broncos' game, that game. Like, that's not their style of footy. But can they go back to back? I reckon they can. There's heaps of reasons. I reckon they can. Like, not, oh, I don't know, back to back, but I reckon they can make a top four.
Yeah.
What's one reason why? Give me one point that tells you that they're going to go.
Starts with Reese, ends with Walsh.
Okay. Oh,
no.
Or Payne ends in Haas.
Well, yeah, I reckon it's with Payne, and like even with Adam Reynolds, like he's announced his retirement. This is last season.
Yep.
And then you've got Payne Haas also last season, but he's moving on to another club. So what more of a reason? The fact that they've just won last year, they know that feeling that, you know, they'd want it again. And then you got Ezra Mam, Adam, both lethal combos. I'm not really a Brisbane, Queensland fan, but to say the least, I am a big fan of Ezra Mam and Adam, like the one they combine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with like, obviously Penrith, like, we see them go down here and there in pre-season challenges, but they always come out on top, like when they kick off in the NRL round. So, yeah,
who's winning,
we're not going to count them out as well.
Who's winning, Broncos or Panthers, and why?
Easy. Penrith? Well, Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, Broncos so, can go back to back,
but Panthers, they're not going to win round one. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, mud. Well, you asked me the question, I gave you an answer. I'm like,
that's it. Stay staunch.
Penrith, stay staunch. Holy dooly.
Perfect.
I reckon, Penrith Panthers, they're going to win tonight.
Perfect.
And then, unbiased, just to wrap us up, who are you looking forward to watching this season and why?
Ooh, I'm probably going to go with Isaiah Katoa for the Dolphins.
Great choice.
Massive. Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's a player I've always enjoyed watching. Like, just the way he controls. Like, I've said it over and over. Like, his tempo of the game, his ball movements. I find that's really special. And because, like, he's still young. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that many young spine, like, halfbacks that, you know, play with so much composure. Okay, and I've been keeping a close eye with 3P performance where he does a bit of mentor off the field. And then, you know, even running into his parents, like I know them from Glenmore Park Brumbies, they were saying that, you know, he's just really like nailing things with the off-field stuff. So to hear that, I just know, and we both know, boys, you know, when things are going smooth with life and family off the field, everything like just it projects to your on-field performance. So yep. Here's a big one for me. I hope he goes well.
That's a great.
And the Dolphins. So, yeah.
Yeah, nah, that's a great shout. And doesn't surprise me that you picked Isaiah Katoa as the player to watch this year. And you'll be able to watch him and the Dolphins take on South Sydney Rabbitohs this Sunday. But, Salah, it is awesome to have you back
it
on
is
Nation
great to
40
have you back.
Friday.
And thanks,
we're looking
guys.
Forward to chatting each week and keeping up with those training records.
Not the training records. What about Phil? Where's Phil's training records?
Don't worry about Phil, man.
Don't worry about Phil, the producer. He's,
he just wants you on time. That's the record that he's
Yeah, true.
Nah,
thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All good.
And enjoy round one NRL. Let's go.
Oh, gee, let's go.
Laters.
All right,
up the Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers.
Sorry, I got to buy. Tune in to week two, please, guys. Bye-bye.
Laters.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it's time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Flying Fijian, who's back living in Fiji and coaching at the Fijian Drua. He must be on a high after last weekend. He didn't really sell me the dream too much to tip them, but I was wrong, so we'll get into that. But never in doubt, Nems, Nemani Nandolo Kurindrani. Here he is, Dola Brass.
Dola, boys. Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, what a bone to pick with you, man. Like, I tipped the Hurricanes off the back of your lack of enthusiasm. or lack of clarity or confidence around if the draw
don't
win.
Blame Nims.
I am
going to
blame
Nims
for my
mate.
Tipping.
He threw draw under the bus.
I did
last week.
So I thought I'd wear my shirt on the Monday just to show my support again. I'm back on the bus because you got the bye this week, so I'm back on the bus for 2 weeks.
He tried saying on Monday that you just weren't confident, so he went with the Canes at home.
See, this is a mind game that I like playing. And that just goes to show that the trust there is. We're still working on our trust.
Yeah, that is. And you tested our trust, and obviously I failed because I decided to go the other way and not be loyal. But
actually, he tried saying that the draw were losing at home because he wasn't over there commentating.
Still so salty. Still salty.
I'll tell you what, though, it is different commentating that Woxy, because Woxy takes it, and then I've got to come in now. I'm doing that. I'm just like, mate, I'm at some shock. I'm just not used to it, so hopefully take me a few more games. Nah. But I had someone comment, one of my mates sent me a comment, goes, can you take this clown off and bring that other clown off?
I'll take the big Krusty the Clown. I'll take that. Get him back in there. But let's talk about that draw win, man. Obviously, a lot of relief. The crowd were in their feet. But, yeah, take us through that win and the reasons for it, but how happy everyone was.
Yeah, so, well, look, it's a good win, particularly when you go into a bye. You guys know what it's like when you know you've got the week off. You want to, you know, to have a win, it's just sort of get to relax for a few days. But, you know, the boys trained really well. I thought the one thing that everyone, the one thing that everyone talks about was how hard they played. But I just think the conditions suited us. I don't know if you know, but when it's raining and muddy and the ground is the worst, like it's probably not world rugby standard to play on, we actually play our best rugby. And you know, it was, I'd like to think I have a say in that win, even though I wasn't in the coaching staff or the players. Because we had a curtain raiser game, right? So we teared up the field, standard, my team tearing up the field. So we teared up the field. At halftime, CEO's called the game. He's like, nah, we got to preserve the ground for the draw. And I said, mate, you do know this is like the best ground. This is the best ground for us to play on. No. And I was like, all right, then, you know, fair enough. Anyway, when they won, you know, I turned to my development boys and said, boys, you guys are the real MVPs.
Yes. Sacrificed it for the boys. That's fair enough. Take the win, bro.
Yeah, I don't think the CEO will be cancelling any more pre-match games at halftime, given that result.
Yeah, and it was funny because we spent a lot of time in that one half, so one half of the field's just getting torn up. And I was saying at halftime to the coaches, I was saying before we came down, I was like, oh man, look at that, look at the other half. Yep, that's about to get teared up now. So anyway, wasn't to happen. And but yeah, it was look, it was good. And also too, the boys deserved it, as you know. Wikes in Fiji, you know, the comments, the things that have been said about the team, it's you know, kind of hurtful, to be fair. You know, so for them to get to win as well, you know, hopefully they can silence a few critics. But, you know, the boys trained really well that week, man. They trained really well. And, you know, I knew that if they put in a good effort, like if they showed up, they weren't going to lose, and you know they did just that.
Just speaking about the fans, Sam mentioned, you know, how towards the back end of that game the fans were starting to get up off their seats and, you know, play their 16th man role and bring the boys home. Yeah, how much did that mean to the players to see the support from, you know, the home fans there?
Oh, it was funny actually. It was good because you know we played Moana. I see Wikey's got his Moana shirt on. They silenced the crowd. Like I'd never, they went quiet and they did a good job in doing that. But man, to see hear the crowd loud and roaring was amazing. And, as Wikes, you know, it makes your job a lot easier. You know, you get the excitement. But the funny thing was there were Hurricane supporters sitting in front of us. Like obviously they were in Hurricane's kit. They're obviously having a few beers and stuff, but as like the game got on, they've obviously had a few few too many. The Drua fans were like cheering on the every time Drua would do something. You know, Drua fans were going crazy, and then all of a sudden they're going up chanting as well. They're going Drua,
and that's what Fiji does today. At the end of the day. You're there for rugby. Like, you actually, man, if you lose, it's actually not a bad thing because you just see and feel the vibe of everyone in the crowd. So it's actually, oh, we're winning either way. It doesn't contagious. Matter. It is contagious.
Mate, and it was. And it was when you saw the all out Hurricane kits on. And every time, like, I remember when Somsom of Wanderer scored that try, everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, I'm in there, you know, fist pumping. And then the Hurricane supporters are hugging each other too.
That could have been Geordie Barrett's family because they were over there in the crowd. Was it them? Because, mate, they would have obviously supported their son, but obviously over there on a holiday as well. But when you think about those conditions and you think about, you know, the way that they play it. The Hurricanes are here training at Sydney Uni and they're prepping for the Waratahs and talking to Corey Jane, obviously an All Black legend. He just talked about 90% of their game, the way the Hurricanes want to play is just expansive, move the ball, good footwork.
Yeah.
But he just said it was just a harsh lesson for them, or good lesson, sorry, on how to play in different conditions and understand if you don't have momentum, you've got to kick. But why do teams get sucked into probably going away from what they're good at or adapting, you know what I mean? Even though they know it's not working, like how come they just can't play something else and get out of get out of that rut during the game?
Yeah, particularly in Fiji, you know, like, A, it's hot, and then when it's raining, it's hot and muddy and muggy. Like, it's, I think it's the fact that when you've got a game plan, you've probably got to have another sort of contingency plan, I guess. And when Fiji play, when Fiji are on, they all know how Fijians play. You know, that old saying, kick the ball, put a high ball, play out of your areas, play it down in their area and go from there. But that's good and all until all it takes is one bounce and Fiji, you know, the Drua get up and they start getting excitement and building. It just, you've seen it there. You've seen it. Whatever game plan, for some reason, just goes out the window. And we've seen good teams go to Fiji and it's not, you know, I mean, it's the week before they were clinical, structured. You know, everything was technical. You go to Fiji, and it's almost like boys.
They're
Fiji
forgetting
touched.
How to play.
Yeah, like they're forgetting how to play. And I don't think it's got anything to do with the weather or anything. I just feel it's got to do with the atmosphere. You know, because I don't think people realize how strong that Fijian Drua atmosphere is when the fans. And, as you know, when it gets loud, it's like being in a full-packed stadium, you know, 50,000-seat stadium. So, and again, the boys, they rely heavily on that. But, yeah, I think that was a we knew what the Hurricanes do. And they, like you said, they play expansive rugby. Looking at their clips, they love to throw the ball, but they're good at doing that. You know, they're clinical at that. And I think they tried to do that. And, as you know, in defence, when you'd know this T2, when it's wet, you try and get up a lot more quicker. It gives you defender's game, isn't it?
Crash and bash.
That's it.
Yeah, crash and bash. And I thought the Drua just held well. And in saying that, Drua play their best rugby in that weather. Like for some reason, you know, if it's hot or if it's dry or training, guys are like, oh, sweet. You know, like let's just get through it. When it's raining at training, they're all getting off the van. Who's already sliding here? Here I am complaining that, geez, I just got my bloody trainers so wet. And, oh, boy, when that does, that's another story.
And the boys are loving it. And that is the difference. You know, you've got people getting off the bus excited, and then you've got the opposition getting off the bus like going, oh, man, do I really have to play in that again? No way. But, hey, great news. And I thought Frank Lamani was probably one of the best out there, especially defensively. Yep. He's got to be one of the best defensive halfbacks in the competition, the way he chops players. But before we wrap things up, Nems, I just saw your photo about recapping life after footy. You've AI'd yourself really well in that photo. Man, you're ripped up. You have abs. You look like The Rock. In that one, but what did you type in just for a mate out there? What did you type in specifically to make yourself look like that so I can copy it?
Funny story, boys. Funny story. I went in and I was like, ChatGPT, look, give me something. And then I thought, mate, that was like It was one where I was too ripped, and I was like, make me bigger, make me realistic. And then it got me like pretty big, and I was like, okay, bring it down. And
I did love the post, and it spat out a great image, and you're doing some wonderful things, my friend. Thanks, all the different hats, all the hands you're shaking, all the checks you are collecting. We love your work, and we can't wait to chat again next week.
Cheers, boy. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
See you, brother. Thank
Later.
You.
See you, boys. See ya.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, to finish up Nijin Footy Fridays, we have our tipping competition.
I guess it's not really a knockout tipping competition, but we'll figure this thing out later.
Yeah, we'll figure out the music or the intro. But we've decided to play a game where each week Sammy and I will pick a lock-in, a sure thing
tip over
the weekend.
Can't go wrong. Like the Hurricanes last week.
Like we both got them both wrong last week.
Yes.
And we'll pick a smoky.
Little smoky.
So a smoky is a underdog, not the favourite. It would have been Parramatta Eels last night.
I'm glad it didn't tip
him. Because Sammy was keen.
I was so confident.
He thought that Melbourne Storm were going to end their 24 win streak.
First round win streak.
But
anyway, let's
get straight into it. Sammy, let's start with your lock-in. Who have you got for this weekend?
My lock-in. I've got my Moana Pacifica shirt on.
So you're going Moana Pacifica beauty.
No, I'm going the Chiefs, but it's a win-win because I feel like if I get it wrong, yes, the Moana get up. Because, you know, my tips always go the opposite way.
Is that what you've done for
Drua? That's what I did for the Drua. So that's
where Canes beat the Drua.
Exactly. So that's how I'm going
to... Sorry, Drua beat the Canes.
Yeah. So I'm going to go the Chiefs to be my lock over Moana. I just can't see them getting it done.
I reckon too, with your lock, you can't just keep picking teams that are playing Moana or Drua.
Okay, well, you said it's 2 weeks in a row, so...
You can't just go next week, you're going to pick the team that's playing Moana.
That'll be out the bag.
Because that's just like disrespectful to our audience.
Yeah, it is, man.
That's 2 weeks in a row where you've gone the lock.
All right,
against
hang on. I'm trying
Drua
to win my
and against
feed.
Moana.
We're playing for a feed.
After
this one,
talking each player up and, you know, how about the team, you then tip your lock in the opposite team, their opponent.
What does that say about me as a person, my character?
That is disgraceful, mate. That is disgraceful.
Anyway, right, the Chiefs. Where's your lock?
My lock in will be the Cronulla Sharks. Up Cronulla.
Ooh, who do they
beat
have again?
The Gold Coast Titans.
Oh, well, you can't keep going against teams against the Titans then.
Well, last year you always went against the Tigers.
No, that was a great strategy.
But
from
hey,
you.
The Tigers are looking good. Just a little sneak preview.
Little
they
we'll
do
them
have
then,
the bye
lock.
This weekend.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, well then.
Yeah, no jokes. All right, let's go to our smoky. Oh, I'm actually going to. Do you think the Warriors
against
the Roosters?
I think
is that a smoky?
I mean, they are dogs, but they are playing in Auckland, and you don't know what Warriors team turn up. Like, you know, they can be the best team in the competition, and then they can be like Parramatta Eels sometimes.
Rocks or diamonds.
Last night. So, depending. But
are you happy with
given that?
That
Roosters are very strong, I would...
You're going to let it slide for me on this one?
I'll let it slide.
Yes, okay. Perfect. Who's your smoky?
Well, I don't want to just keep picking league teams each week, so we'll try and find a union team. Who are the Blues playing? Seeing
they
you went Warriors?
I like where your head's at.
Crusaders, Blues?
I would say the Blues are a smoky.
Because the Crusaders are always strong?
Well, you think of the last 10 games that have played in Auckland at Eden Park, the Crusaders have won 9 out of the last 10.
Have they?
Yes.
Okay.
They've got a horrible record against the Crusaders, so I actually don't mind that pick being your smoky. That's the route you want to go with the Blues.
When's this game?
This game is on Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Let's go on then. Let's go Blues to beat the Crusaders.
As your smoky.
So
okay.
That's in Auckland as well?
That's in Auckland.
Oh, yeah. So we've gone the two Auckland teams to beat...
There we have it. There
the
we
opponents.
Go. All right. Perfect.
Nice.
And the winner at the end of the year will get a island feed of their choice. So that's what we are playing for. And T, that's us.
Wrap
us up,
show.
My friend.
Yes.
Wrap us
Tell
up.
Us, tell us, tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
See you Monday.
And we'll see you on Nijan Footy Mondays.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.